Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you very much for coming to this talk. This is our first talk in this term, and we'll have many more to start with. And I'm really pleased to introduce my fellow colleague, Dr. Ali Shiri, who is an associate professor in the School of Library Information Studies. Ali teaches in the area of digital libraries and organization of information. His research areas are user information search and interaction behavior, digital library users and interfaces, knowledge organization system in digital libraries, institutional repositories, open archives and subject gateways. Currently, Ali is working on a research project that investigates the development and user-centered evaluation of multilingual thesaurus enhanced visual interfaces for digital libraries. This project is funded by SHRC, and I'm really pleased because he has spared time from his sabbatical, he's on sabbatical, and he has spared time to come here to give this talk, and this is really fascinating. I have seen some initial work, and you'll really enjoy this one. And thank you very much for it. And we'll have around 40-45 minutes of this talk, and then we'll open up the floor for discussion. Ali, all yours.
Thanks, Nick. Good afternoon, and thank you for taking time to be here at your lunch hour. I would like to talk about one of my major research areas, developing and evaluating visual user interfaces. If you can't hear me, I can speak louder. As you'll see, the title of the talk, Exploratory Interaction with Digital Libraries Using Visual Thesauri. You'll see the three key facets there, exploratory search and exploratory interaction, digital libraries, and obviously visualization and thesauri. So within the next 40 so minutes, I will try to introduce you to the context of this research and also demonstrate two visual user interfaces that we have developed over the course of the past few years. So I thought, given that you're talking about visualization, just a quick overview of what I'm going to be talking about. These are the terms that you will see cropping up in my talk: interfaces, thesauri, browsing, digital information, search, interaction, etc. So the research areas that I have and we have, my colleagues who have been working on this project with me, drawing upon, focus on four different areas. The first is information organization, which is the area that I'm teaching and I'm very much interested in. In particular, knowledge organization systems, which is an umbrella term used for a wide range of tools that we use for organizing printed as well as digital information, ranging from classification schemes, thesauri, taxonomy, ontologies, bibliometric maps, etc. I'll talk about this later on in more detail. Information retrieval, obviously a very interesting area and very hot area these days with all these search systems coming up on the web every day. But in particular, the notion of exploratory search and human information interaction. Exploratory search, I'll talk about what this means compared to fact-finding or known item searching, where you put a keyword and retrieve documents. Exploratory searching is different and it's not necessarily query-driven. So that's another area that I'll be talking about. And the whole notion of users' interaction with information. And it's a very broad area. This information can, as I said, be a person as an information source or documents or digitally born materials. The area of digital libraries, obviously, there are studies about users interacting with digital libraries, interfaces developed and designed for digital libraries. It's a very interdisciplinary subject area contributed to this by information scientists, computer scientists, educational experts. It's a very interesting and enriching area. And finally, human-computer interaction in terms of developing and designing and producing user interfaces that take advantage of visualization and perception and knowledge of users when they interact with digital tools. So to start with, so all those four facets, I tried to quickly provide an overview and then examples. Knowledge organization systems, as I said, is an umbrella term. All these different types of knowledge organization systems are around, are being used on the web in a variety of different systems, from knowledge management systems to question answering systems to search engines, etc. I'll be particularly focusing on thesauri in this talk. Exploratory search, over the past 4 or 5 years, a number of workshops and sort of mini conferences associated with information retrieval conferences focused on exploratory search. This type of search is more multifaceted, multi-tactical, as I've mentioned there, by White, obviously, and other people. The idea is people are not necessarily looking for a particular piece of information. Rather, they are trying to learn and investigate, analyze, interpret, and compare various sources of information. So as a result, how can we develop user interfaces that can support exploratory search or exploratory browsing as opposed to known item searching for a particular author, particular title, or a particular subject? The focus of these exploratory search systems or user interfaces, the focus has been on conceptual and semantic understanding. So how can a user explore the conceptual structure of a collection? Google, you'll see a search box, and you have to put a search term in there to find some documents, right? So exploratory search interfaces are actually on the other spectrum, meaning that they are rich in information. They try to represent information as much as possible on the user interface, and they are not just necessarily query-driven. There's actually a book published by White and other people called Exploratory Search Beyond Query Document Match. Examples of exploratory search systems are some of these you may be familiar with, like interactive and dynamic term suggestions offered by Google, Bing, or Yahoo that I will show later on. High-level categories or taxonomic structures that are seen these days on many corporate, large, organizational government websites, and faceted browsing. You choose a facet like chronology, and then you drill down and you try to narrow down your search. In 2007, Kuhls and Schneiderman, for those who don't know, Schneiderman is the HCI, human computer interaction guru, and has designed many visual interfaces over the course of the past 20 or so years. With Kuhls, they try to experiment with basically high-level views or a faceted view of results. So they used Google, so you see the results, but in addition to results, you will see on the left-hand side, people can actually narrow down or break down your search. So in a user-centered study, they found that more than 30 users actually liked the idea of having this categorized view. Next, you will see that Google has actually implemented the idea, and now nowadays you can use Google's sort of filtering features like time, results based on social networks or individual documents, standard results from, for example, Wonder Wheel, which is another tool for exploring the content in a different way, in a visual way rather than textual. I talked about dynamic and interactive term suggestions. This is a very good example. So as soon as you put the term, Google suggests terms. And this is based on previous users' interaction with the system, as well as your own interaction with Google, because they can capture and classify your queries over time. Another example is Yahoo, which does that differently in a more static way. It shows suggested terms. And these are good for, particularly for new research ideas where you don't have that much knowledge about the subject area. You want to explore the subject area. That's why it's called exploratory. So it's not just a list of results. Rather, it's a conceptual structure, a semantic network of terms that you can actually familiarize yourself with and narrow down your search. And Bing, obviously, is doing that as well. And nowadays, many search systems are equipped with term suggestion features. Some of them have auto-completion, meaning that they just complete your term. but others actually suggest terms or alternative terms. Faceted browsing, this is a very good early example of faceted browsing developed by Marty Hirsch and her colleagues at UC Berkeley for this collection. This is a collection of architecture slides, and you can actually browse and explore documents using a number of metadata elements. So metadata elements have been very nicely used and incorporated into this interface, as you will see. For example, locations, time period, structure, type, etc. And another feature is at the bottom, subjects. So you can actually explore those slides in terms of what subject areas you're covering or additional slides related to this particular item that you've retrieved. The area of digital libraries, it's a very, well, I can't say emerging because it's almost since 1992-3, written by Kristin Borgman. It's now more than about 20 years that we've been, or people have been doing research in the area of digital libraries, but it's very closely coupled with the area of information retrieval. So if you take a look at conferences in information retrieval, you will see a lot of people from digital libraries are contributing and vice versa. So closely, these two areas are very related for obvious reasons. When you look at these subject areas, which I am interested in, many people have done research like developing visual user interfaces or using knowledge organization systems, metadata, and subject access on the user interface. These are some areas in digital libraries and are also related to what we've developed that I will show you later on. User search behavior and information interaction. How users interact with a digital library. And this interaction can be at the various levels, cognitive interaction, physical interaction, just clicking on elements and terms, right? Or reformulating or reconstructing or expanding a particular search topic. Those can be cognitive processes that users go through. And the area of information architecture, again, you will see studies that they try to focus on how we can organize information, digital information on a particular website. How you represent elements and information from a large corporation, for example, like GM. How do you represent? If you go to a website, you'll see how they've organized that type of organization and the taxonomy that they have used. They all fall under this area of information architecture. And obviously, these are very interrelated. So a specific aspect of digital libraries that we were interested in was visual user interfaces. The reason is because visualization allows you to actually provide a richer interface because you can show the metadata elements, whatever you choose, automatically created metadata elements or manually created, or a combination of both. The idea is you can actually show them all on the interface and create an enriched and more highly interactive visual user interface. And in fact, if you can combine different information-seeking strategies, namely browsing, searching, navigation, exploration. These are separate things, separate processes that you actually engage in when you carry out the search, depending on the type of the task that you are trying to complete. So in other words, the idea is to create this rich experience, information interaction experience for the user. Now, so those facets we talked about, I would like to show some examples of visual user interfaces to support what I've been talking about in terms of creating rich user interfaces. And I try to introduce some examples from different subject areas, from search engines in particular, to get to. This is visualization of Wikipedia, the emergent mosaic of Wikipedia. So just imagine how you can actually visualize and conceptualize what this Wikipedia looks like, right? So this is work by Kathy Bordner at Indiana University. And the idea is to create this rich environment as much as possible. It's it's experimental, but it is important in terms of the proof of concept. So when you zoom in, you will see how this visualization actually makes you interact with content. Top 20 most hotly revised articles in Wikipedia, like Hitler, Vietnam War, Pope Benedict, etc. So interaction is different. It's not query document match. You put in a query, you retrieve documents, and that's it. So visualization brings this other dimension. A quick overview of I've showed this before, but it's important because historically it shows how search engines have actually tried to create more rich user interfaces. Yahoo in 1996. A query box and obviously 14 categories. In 2002, you will see there is more information and more metadata elements. And we use the term metadata in a very broad sense. Represent document surrogates or representations of the documents held in this the database of the search engine. And this is Yahoo in 2010. You'll see more visualization, obviously, and more interactive elements as well as social computing applications attached or incorporated into the search interface. And they are mushrooming, like search engines, visual search engines in particular. There are many of them around. A lot of them are experimental or prototype systems. They are not fully functional, but most of them are. For example, if you take a look at these, you can actually try all of these on the web just to see how they show a particular, for a particular query, how they show results. Innovative search engines or meta search engines like Car2, which was available until last year, they actually show you, which I will show you later on, show you examples of the web pages in a different way, in a more visualized way. And you get other systems like Grokker, which now is bought by, for example, EBSCO, to show a visualized view of articles and documents in EBSCO, which is a database vendor. Some examples. This is TouchGraph by Google. You can try a few searches. It's very interesting how they cluster documents. So if you put in a query, it shows you clusters of documents related to the query, but in a different way. It shows, for example, institutional sort of context of the query, where they are coming from. It's a different view of the documents that you would normally see, and different types of metadata that they use. This is Car2 that I mentioned. It's a meta search engine. Was a meta search engine. Apparently, they are commercializing it for some reason. It's not freely available anymore. But they show documents in this way or web pages. So hovering your mouse on any of these would show or sort of enlarge the text without you having to actually click on the actual document. And you will see the textual representation on the left-hand side for further examination or exploration. Mutter is another one. This is, for example, a prototype, and it shows a start type. CoolTorch, another one. I just skim through these quickly because the idea is visualization. When it's combined with information representation, it becomes a very good and more enriched user interface. They show, for example, results in circles and bigger circles and smaller circles, so you can actually click on each and then get more refined results. Now, so this is more like a context. Now, visualization of thesauri, because the demonstrations that I'll be giving you focus on visualization of thesauri, it would be good to just review some what has been done in the past. Again, this Korn and Schneiderman, they use the mesh thesaurus, the medical subject heading thesaurus, to actually show the structure of the thesaurus in a visual way. Note that this is just experimenting with the actual mesh. So there's no search incorporated or search functions incorporated into this. You can click on these and narrow down your search. And note that this was 1995. Another one by Johnson and Cochran, they use the INSPEC thesaurus in the area of electrical and electronic and computer and information sciences, the database INSPEC. They use the thesaurus to show in a textual, partly visual. The textual, so you'll see a thesaurus has broader terms, narrower terms, related terms. It's always difficult to show related terms. Broader terms and narrower terms are easier because you can, like this, you can say elastic waves, and a narrower term would be acoustic waves. But when it comes to related terms, this has been a design challenge for many people, how we show related terms, which they have shown this around the shock wave. So these are the related terms, again, for the purpose of exploration of the content. What are the additional terms that I can use that are related or that are synonymous but are not the same that I entered as a user? Hurst and Karate in 1997, they developed this very innovative, I would say, user interface that again takes advantage of the mesh thesaurus structure in a more three-dimensional visualization space. And in addition to browsing and navigating around the thesaurus, you can actually see documents. And this is very important because we are talking about looking at a thesaurus, choosing a term, retrieving documents, evaluating the document, going back and reformulating if you want, broadening or narrowing down your search, whatever interaction you want to be involved in. This makes it possible. But again, as I said, this was more like a prototype. Sutcliffe in the UK, they designed a two-pane sort of user interface. This is the thesaurus with high-level facets and specific terms associated with each facet. And then documents would appear on the right-hand pane as dots. And the color actually indicates that for that particular term, this is the document. This is not an information retrieval thesaurus, but it's another attempt at visualizing thesaurus. This is a language thesaurus, visual thesaurus. It's very, you know, very popular on the web. You can use it for sort of linguistic purposes, not sort of information retrieval. But it's interesting to show how a term like information can be explored in further detail. Particularly for people who are new to a subject area, this would be very, very useful. Again, another example of using the medical subject headings thesaurus in 2003 in a different way. Unfortunately, most of these user interfaces have not been subject to a user-centered evaluation. You may wonder, okay, how useful are these?